And it's that time again. It's March 22nd, 2024. It's time for your show, Torn in Tooth. Your show for news, information, and more. Only one doing it, that's us. Carrying local, state, national, and international news. We're doing it on 103.7 to be in M106. Now, do me a favor before we just do some housekeeping. If you are driving, or maybe you are watching this already, go to your Facebook page like I'm doing right now. As you can see, you can hear the volume, and share this to your page like I'm doing. And so we can get more people involved because, as they say, knowledge is power. So we want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to pipe in. Now, if you are driving and you said, wait a minute, I didn't catch all the show, or you listened to part of the show, these shows repeat themselves, and please let people know what's happening. If you would like to watch the show and you just pulling up to the house, go to 103.7 The Beat Facebook site as well as M106. And you can catch it. Weather outside, man, I hate to even say it. 100% chance of snow. High of 36, low of 24. Weather's going to be kind of in the same pattern. Sunny tomorrow, high of 36, low of 22. Next Monday warms up to 54. Tuesday, 56. Thursday goes down back to 37. And next Friday goes back to 45. Now, the reason I'm flying through that weather is because we are carrying, as we always do, election coverage. And we're doing election coverage in Muskegon Heights as a special race where we have one seat open. We have three candidates running for. Last week we had Vern Smith. This week, our first guest is no stranger to the show. And we want to get her on because we want to make sure the time is equal. Pastor Melvin Burns is off to the side because we don't want to show that think you think that we have impartiality. So he is off the show for a couple of weeks until we finish these interviews. Now, with that said, this person has been on the show before, good friend, and like they would say, and like what we always do, put your hands together for Kim Smith Sims, Kim
Oh,
Sims, Kim Sims.
blessed, you good. Well, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you doing other than butchering your name? But I'm trying to direct and all that
That's
kind
all
of stuff.
right. Chalk it up to the head, not the heart. It's a good thing. It's not bad. No offense taken.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Kim, listen,
Sir.
we've got 26 minutes to talk about you. I'll tell people a little bit about Kim Sims.
You know, it's interesting that you would ask that question. And I would say, for those of you who know me, and I'm the same person I've always been. Kim Sims is a dedicated citizen to the city of Muskegon Heights. I work tirelessly for that community. I love my community. I work to give back to the community in any way that I can, not just locally, but statewide. I'm just about the people. I'm about the uplifting of our people, the embetterment of our people. I've been a lifelong resident in Muskegon Heights. I've raised my children in Muskegon Heights. I'm blessed to stay in the same home that I was raised in. To me, that's an honor. I'm just, yeah. It's hard for me to talk about myself. You know that. Why are you doing this?
Well, we want, hey, I know you and other people know you, but we want everybody to get a chance to know Kim Sims. Now, you have served on the board before.
Yes, sir. I served 16 years as a council member. And then after that, I served 4 years as the city's mayor.
Okay. So I guess the first thing is that we try to ask everybody the same questions. Here we go. The first question is that there is this stigma on Muskegon Heights that you and I know that is totally wrong. Muskegon, the hardworking people that go to work, send their kids to school, pick them up, feed them, repeat cycle, go to church on Sunday, taking care of their business. Mm-hmm. How do we change that thought, that persona of what people think about Muskegon Heights?
You know, it's really interesting. So I have probably a different mindset on that question. Mm-hmm. People are going to feel the way they're going to feel about Muskegon Heights, and that's okay. We've always been the underdogs in some type of way, some type of way fashion. What I feel like the problem is some of us in the community are starting to take on that same mindset, and we're starting to feel that same way about our community, and we need to stop. Right. Muskegon Heights, what Muskegon Heights has faced, what we've gone through as a community, how we've survived and persevered. Most communities couldn't have done that. They wouldn't have done that. Mm-hmm. It's the people that are that's within our community that give our community the strength that we have. Like it's that Tiger Pride, that Heights Pride is something real. It's not fake. It's not conversation. That's the perseverance that's there. That's what we as a community need to embrace on. And and so that, like I said, I have a real different, people are going to think what they want to think, feel how they want to feel. You can drive on through, drive on by if you like, right? I want us in the community to feel the pride and the essence of who we are and make our community the way we decide that we want to make our community, not based on if anything else of what's going on around us. Should we be able to participate in those areas? Absolutely. But on the terms that we as a community choose that we want to participate, based on how we as a community have determined we want to build and shape our community. Okay. Right. And so we need to take ownership for that. And that's so, yes, they can feel how they want to feel. They can always feel that way. We have to embrace who we are and rise above their feelings and develop our community in the best way. That's
Kim, let's say Kim Sims gets elected. What are the top issues that you feel that this city must address?
Right now, I would look at the top issues that our city needs to address is the board, right? We need to figure out how to work together to move the catalyst forward. Right. We need to be able to come together past personal differences and see the greater picture in front of us and move toward that mark. Like so that's one of the first things. Right. How we treat one another and how is a reflection. I feel like our citizens deserve better than what we're seeing from our board right now. It's just flat out period. Well, our citizens deserve better than that. One. The second thing I would say, the financial stability of our community. We need to look at that. And we need to take a hard look at that and making sure that we're within reason and ration. Like, I get our tax base is dwindling, but how do we address that? What strategies do we need to put in place to build our tax base back up so that we can get the finances that we need to maintain the city that we determine that we want to have, right? Yes, so man. I would say the board, we need to look at the how we work with one another, the finances of the city. That's really the second piece. And then our residents. What type of services are we giving them outside of the basics? Every community is going to be able to give their citizens the basic service. Police, fire, right? Okay, I want to be able to say in the city of Muskegon Heights, we give our people more. We have esteemed parks. Mm-hmm. Our streets are good. Like, this is a good place for you to come live, work, and play right here in this community. You got everything you need right here. We can take care of that, right? And then you can leave this community and go visit other places, but you have a pride when you come back home, right? Mm-hmm. So those are the things I would say, like how we work together with one another as the board, the finances within the community, and then the services that our citizens, especially our elders and our children experience within the city of Muskegon Heights. Those are the three areas for me.
Let's talk about issue one, working together. We're usually in a 4-3 split. And Gerald Ford said this, too many people to the right, and too many people on the left, not enough people in the middle to get things done. How do we break that down?
We need to be able to communicate and talk past our personal feelings towards one another. Mm-hmm. Whether you look, and this is what I tell people all the time. I'm a very personable person. I think some people don't think as much, right? But the idea is whether you like me or not, can I get the job done? If everybody on our team is a point guard, but we ain't got nobody that can bring it up, no center that can protect the middle, what we got? if nobody on our team can shoot a shot and make a basket, how are we going to win?
Mm-hmm.
Right? These are the things that I get passionate about. You got me started. Now I'm on. I'm ready now. Right? But these are the things we need to be able to look at and address. And it's okay. One person should not have all the answers. It takes all of us to come together collectively to get to the right solution. Sometimes mm-hmm. my solution may be right, and we need to move forward with that. Sometimes yours may be right, and we need mm-hmm. to move forward with that. It's about working, agreeing to disagree. Mayor Page, mm-hmm. Commissioner, I call him Mayor Commissioner, but we used to talk about that all the time. We don't have to agree. We have to be able to work and we disagree, but yet move on past it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's right. One of the things I feel like, and I've been keeping my ear to the ground a little bit, and I've been hearing some of the rumblings, and I've been watching some of the Zoom meetings, right? I don't feel like we're there, but we can get there, mm-hmm. right? And so that's one of that's how we come against that 4-3 split, right? Somebody's going to have to give up the fact, right? I'm going to have to let go of a little piece of mine to gain on yours so we can move.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to move as a community with that 4-3 split. That's not going to be there. Mm-hmm. So me taking that seat, is it going to mean that I'm going to always side with majority? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's going to mean that I'm going to bring my own voice, my own reason, based on the input from the community that I serve, and we're going to be able to come past a decision. Now, mm-hmm. where that falls, it falls, right? But we got to be able to get past some of that personal stuff and move on to the greater picture. That's just my take.
Muskegon Heights has one of the greatest water filtration plants that people don't seem to recognize. How do we get businesses to come back, or cities or municipalities to come back to that filtration plant?
We need to be able to present ourselves in a way, I'm just going to keep it 100, right?
Keep it 100.
We want to come and do business with the city of Muskegon Heights.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's number one. Right. And the constant distinction and the constant bickering and all of that does not set an example. It does not make people want to come to the city of Muskegon Heights to do business with us. Are we welcoming to businesses? What do our business practices look like? Is it easy for a business to come into the city of Muskegon Heights and set up shop? Or is it too much red tape, too much distinction, too much? Right. It's easier mm-hmm. to go somewhere else and set up business. We mm-hmm. have to show ourselves friendly. We're the city of friendly people. We need to live by that, to one another first and to the greater community secondly. Mm-hmm. And right now we haven't gotten the first part down. Right.
Wow.
And it's showing itself problematic to the business community. Come on now. Just because I haven't sat in those seats in the last 4 years, it does not mean that I'm not in the business world. It does not mean that I don't hear, right, some mm-hmm. of those problems. I'm an entrepreneur myself. Right. So I'm in those circles. And right now, the feeling is we're not friendly to do business with. We need to change that.
Now, you brought up my next question. You had your ears to the ground and you're in some circles. What are people saying good and what needs to be changed?
The whole piece, they can't seem to get along with each other. Why would I go there?
Wow.
It's gonna make wow. Listen, I've been in the administration a lot. I've seen three city managers hired, maybe more, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the one thing that was always told was this right here, this inner working, how you all deal with one another is going to reflect in the community and determine what type of environment an employer the city manager is gonna come into. Mm-hmm. Right now. Right. It's been going on too long.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I'm that's one of the things I'm hearing. Muskegon Heights has a lot of potential. You need to learn how to work it. Y'all need to learn how to work your gifts. You're right. No, look here. This is my new thing. No lie detected. That's truth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We do need to learn how to work that water plant diamond. We need to protect the crown jewel.
Right.
Okay? We need to protect the crown jewel. And one of the things that I've learned about the art of war, as long as you can keep the people fighting amongst themselves, they'll pick us off at all sides.
Whew.
At all sides. pick it off. And then what? Once we come to our senses, we looking around, what's left?
One of the questions that that we ask everybody is that, do you feel that there's transparency at City Hall?
No. And I hesitate to say no, because my ear, I haven't been in the intermixings, interminglings in a long time. Mm-hmm. However, just some of the little glimpses I've been getting, I'm like, okay, well, how did that happen? Okay, well, where'd that come from?
Mm-hmm.
What charter did that read up under? Right? And that's one of the things, and I owe the citizens a huge apology. Like, right? And I'm transparent with that. I know too much to have sat back and watched. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was, I went where I was welcomed. I'm going to say that.
Okay.
Right? And so one of the things that we have to look at is to, we need to look at transparency is one of those words. What exactly does it mean? Because I'm not sure that everybody's on the same page as to what that word means. Right.
Wow.
And so we need to make sure that we're all on the same page to what that word means, because based on some of the stuff that I'm saying transparency is lacking. And it's problematic.
I'm gonna keep going.
What that does is it opens up and it allows people to fill in your gaps with their truths, not yours.
Mm-hmm. Let me add something.
Mm-hmm.
In Muskegon, and they're doing a project where all the streets are going to be, they're working the street, sewer, lines, everything. Which brings me to this point where a politician once said this, the biggest dog that with the biggest bark is getting the biggest money in the state and in Washington. So you see Muskegon getting things. What has to happen for Muskegon Heights to be in Lansing aggressively, be in Washington aggressively to get some of these things changed?
We were there.
Okay.
Right? We have to take our bark off one another and put it where it needs to go.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I'll be honest, right? This is my transparency. It was easy for me when I sat in those positions that I held in the city to go and to take my bark, our fight, outside of my community. That was mm-hmm. easy. I expected to get the pushback. I expected to get to have to bristle up, hold my mm-hmm. ground. You know, I expected to have to do that. I did not expect it to have to come back into my own home and do the same thing. I did not. That was my flaw. That was one of my flaws. Right. Yeah. I came home and thought I could get comfortable and just chill and work. Right. Nah.
And that's a rough feeling, because I ran for office 1 year and I won in 17 out of 18 precincts and I lost in my own precinct. That's a cold feeling.
That's hard. It's
hard when you know that your neighbors vote against you.
And it's not the citizens. Right. Keep it 100. It wasn't the citizens, right? What's transpiring within our council right now? It's not new.
It's been here for a while.
It's been there for a while. And we just got to be honest about that, right? The only difference was, and I've served through 1, 2, 3 different mayors. The only difference was we as a council could come together and agree to disagree and move on. It kept our city out of receivership, right? Because we were able to put our differences aside and be like, hold up, player, this ain't the way this needs to go. You got an idea about that? Let's come together collectively, wrote the plan, took the plan to Lansing, got it approved, and kept ourselves out of receivership. Mm-hmm. I was there when that happened.
Okay.
Right? I was part of that council when that happened. But it happened because we as a council were able to come together collectively, put our differences aside and say, what's the main thing? Let's make the main thing the main thing
mm-hmm.
and come back to that every time.
Let's go to Houston, Texas. Michael Anthony Smith, too many generalizations. give examples.
Examples like what? You want to ask me a specific question? Let's go.
Michael, if you have another question, just send it to me. I think he's trying to say you're being too broad. Give some examples. I got one thing I want to talk to you about. What is it going to take for Muskegon Heights to bring in other people, like business people that know business, like you're an entrepreneur yourself, and to bring in people into the city to teach them how to bring in other businesses and to be user friendly?
So one of the things that you referenced the city of Muskegon, one of the things that the city of Muskegon has is a strong strategic plan that they work. They started years ago. A lot of what we're seeing right now in the city of Muskegon was conversated and talked about 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. It's starting to come to fruition. It takes that much time because the municipal beast is a very hard beast to move, right? It takes time, thought, strategies. You have to build your model around it, right?
Mm-hmm.
City of Muskegon Heights has a plan. We need to start working that plan, working mm-hmm. with the city manager to work that plan, realizing what our place is and what our place is not, and mm-hmm. give our city managers the levity or the you know, give them enough rope to do what they need to do based on what that strategic plan, and support them, undergird them in a way to mm-hmm. get the projects done.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I would say the city of Muskegon Heights, we have some good plans there. We need to put our money around those plans to make those plans come to fruition, just as the city of Muskegon has done.
And speaking of that, there's been so many good things that has happened in Muskegon Heights, but the thing is that you don't necessarily hear about them. And what do we need to do?
We need to tell our story. Nobody can tell our story better than we can tell our story.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Some of our citizens don't even know our story because we haven't told our story. We need to put mechanisms in place where our story can be told to our citizens first, to the greater world, to the greater population second. Right. So mm-hmm. we need to make sure that our story is getting told, and we don't do that well.
Let's go back to Houston, Texas. Mike, and I have to what he wants to specify of like the plan. People that don't know about the plan, talk a little bit about Muskegon Heights and where they want to be in the future as far as the plan.
So the last plan that I know that there was some citizen participation on was the Reaching New Heights plan, where they looked at downtown Muskegon Heights and how we could work to bring that core back. That's the last plan that I know that has been done that had extensive community input
mm-hmm.
put around it. Mm-hmm. And so there were some very specific projects that could be done, some very specific things that we could look at as a community to put dollars behind and as council to put dollars behind to start to bring our city back. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and I think that plan was, I want to say, Gregory, I believe it was the Reaching New Heights was the last plan that was done. And it focused on the core downtown area.
You look at the Juneteenth celebration, huge success. People come in and just go, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just one of the programs of many programs that are happening. Let's talk about the good of Muskegon Heights. Some of the things that you see that are good and make the Heights better.
So one of the things that I see that we need to do more on was when the city went and they invested all that money in Mona Lake Park. We need to mm-hmm. continue to build on that. There was a whole plan around the structure and the development of that park that got laid by the wayside. We need to pull that back and institute that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that when we host our Juneteenth celebration, so that's one of the things I say that the city of Muskegon Heights did well. Another piece is, right, when we looked at it, this started when I was there. I'm not sure on the completion of it, but council had determined that we needed to be able to look at our industrial park, and we needed to categorize that, and we need to section that out and look at that and really develop our industrial park and mm-hmm. identify those plots so that when organizations like the Greater Muskegon in the Muskegon Chamber of Commerce and those types of places, our city was prepared when large manufacturers want to come in. We could market our industrial park, right? We need to continue that. That was the work that was started, which I think is a very good thing because we have a lot of undeveloped land on that side that could help us again with the tax base. Tax base gives us money to do other stuff, right? So that's one of the things that I say has happened. That was a really good thing that happened. So those right now, those are the two things that I can that come immediately to mind was the industrial park development and the Reaching New Heights plan, putting some gusto behind that and making it happen. Oh, and the Mona Lake development, completing that project.
So you brought up some great ideas. Kim, I want you to, we got 4 minutes here. I'm sitting on the couch. I want to know more about Kim because I know that people that don't know that you are always approachable. But talk a little bit, why should people get up and vote for Kim Sims?
People should get up and vote for Kim Sims. And it's not because, right, I've served in the positions before. It's not that, right? Mm-hmm. Kim Sims truly has the city of Muskegon Heights at heart. Mm-hmm. Kim Sims eats, breathes, lives. I'm city of Muskegon Heights, right? I'm going to fight for my city at every turn against anybody that comes my way. I'm not afraid. I'm not going to be a yes person. I'm going to think critically. I'm going to strategize around the thought. I'm always going to try to bring consensus. Most sometimes to fault, quite honestly, mm-hmm. because I'm always looking for a way of how everybody can win. It's a way. We just always need to be able to figure that out. I'm going to always be thoughtful. I'm going to always listen. And I may not always agree. But at the end of the day, we listen. And I tell people all the time, I am a representative of the citizens of Muskegon Heights. Mm-hmm. It is their wishes that need to go forth. The way I carry myself in public, the way I manage my conversations, the things I engage with, it doesn't just represent me. It represents the people that have elected me to represent them. That's a hat I can't ever take off, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to always be a representative of my people, right? Because you elected me to do a job and I have a job to do. And I hold that very dear. I hold it very dear. And so I would say if you want somebody that's going to represent your voice, that is going to listen to you and is going to hear you out, we're going to talk about the issues and I'm going to get your full take on whatever it is. We're going to have a conversation about it where maybe you can help me understand better because I will acknowledge I don't know everything. I'm your mm-hmm. person. I'm going to listen outside of the chamber council, the chamber walls. I'm going to listen.
If I want to get in touch, find out more, or write a check to Kim Sims, how do I do that?
Kim Sims, my number is 231-286-9518. And I'll be honest, some of my committee members are still like, we doing this? You said you wasn't gonna ever do this no more, right? And so we're still in the process of setting up the Facebook page and the website and those types of things, but they're coming. They should launch in the next week. But right now, that's the best way to get in touch with me, 231-286-9518. And I tell, if it's something that I've said today that you want to know more about, call me. If it's something I said that you don't agree with and you want to check me on it, call me, right? We can have those conversations. I'm not afraid of them. My skin is thick enough over the years where there's not a lot that bothers me anymore. But I'm going to always be honest with you. And I'm going to always, and if I don't know, I'm going to tell you, I don't know, let me go find out.
All right. That's Kim Sims. Thank you so much. And you have a wonderful day.
Always my pleasure. Thank you so much. You take care of yourself.
All right. You too.
All right. Bye.
All right. That was Kim Sims. Look, we're at the bottom of the hour, right at 2:30, right on time. We're going to do a commercial break and we'll be back on your show for news, information, and more. Torn in Two. See you in a second.
The second annual I Am Her Feminine Hygiene Drive, supporting young ladies from Ghana, Africa, in need of everyday essentials and feminine hygiene products, was a great success. Thanks to the generosity of our community and organizations like Period.org, Muskegon Heights Public School Academy, Camphident Cosmetics, Muskegon Heights Alumni Chapter of Delta Sigma Theta, Inc., and everyone who made a contribution. Hundreds of young ladies and village members received essential items. The community made a lasting impact with more than 10,000 sanitation items donated. If you would like to help, donations can be made year-round by dropping off items in the donation shed at the Mays and Wright Media Center, located at 1877 Peck Street, or making a contribution to paypal.me/1037thebeat. For more information, call 231-727-5007. Thank you for supporting I Am Her Foundation.
The wait is over. The all-new Umoja Radio Network, home to over 40 black-owned radio stations and podcasts, is here for you. Connect to the world's fastest-growing collection of unapologetically black and proud media, from podcasts to independent black-owned radio stations, and access to the important news and music you need. Umoja Radio is from our culture, by our culture, for our culture. The all-new Umoja Radio is available right now on Google Play and the Apple Store. Join the movement. Be empowered.
Welcome back to Storm 2, and that emoji app is great. Get on it. I'm proud to say that we are one of the shows that are on that app. Now, listen, the second person that is running is Mr. Darius Mitchell. He's no stranger. He's been on the show before. Put your hands together and welcome to the stage, Darius Mitchell. How you doing, sir?
All right. How about yourself, sir? Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.
You feel like you need that cape, you know, that the James Brown thing. And
One more again. Yes, sir.
Mr. Mitchell, how are you doing today, sir?
No complaints. Just trying to brave the elements. Just a few days ago, I was outside getting ready to rake leaves. And today, before this interview, I just shoveled snow. So you got to love Michigan, right?
That's what they say.
That is what they say.
Listen, tell our viewers and listeners a little bit about Darius Mitchell.
Absolutely. Well, again, obviously, I want to thank everybody who voted for me last time. I really appreciate that. Again, Darius Mitchell, born and raised here in Muskegon Heights, definitely a native son. Currently, I am the chief operating officer of Shoreline Staffing, which is a minority-owned staffing agency that serves Muskegon Heights and Muskegon County for that matter. We believe in second chances, so we work with felony-friendly companies because we understand that people have made mistakes and they deserve a second chance. So that's what I do professionally. On top of that, I serve our community as I'm on the board of directors for Hackley Community Care. I am also the vice chair of the Muskegon Young Black Professionals. I am also the vice chair of the Muskegon County Democratic Black Caucus. I serve on different other advocate for our community. So wherever there's help need to be done, I'm usually volunteering somewhere. So father of two, I'm also a minister. I just started that walk here in this past October. So yeah, Jesus is keeping me busy.
Yeah, I get that. Definitely. Listen, okay. So what we try to do is ask people the same questions. Okay.
Okay.
And they might be in different order. How do we change the persona? How do we change how people think? Like I said before, most people from Muskegon Heights get up, go put their pants on, get the children up, get them to school, go to work, come home, get back in their car, and start out all over again. Mm-hmm. How do we change the persona of the negative things that people say about Muskegon Heights?
That's a great question, Greg. I think first and foremost, we need to be introspective and understand that as Muskegon Heights, we do have an issue with the optics or how the public sees us. You know, when you go to an Alcohol Anonymous or a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, one of the first things they make you do is to state your name and state that you have a drug issue or that you're an alcoholic. They don't do that just for fun. They do that so you can know that you're here because you have a problem. So don't mm-hmm. come here and thinking that you're going to say I'm a weekend drinker and I don't really have I'm an alcoholic or I have an alcohol abuse problem. Yes, you do. So I think the first thing is that we need to admit that, hey, we have an issue versus glossing it over and say, well, it's not that bad, or it might just be someone outside of our community's opinion. We need to take a deep look and a deep dive within ourselves and admit that we have a problem. By us doing that and admitting that we have that problem, and once we face that and face that fear, then we can start to look at ourselves individually. So what I mean by that is there's a lot of different mechanisms that go to Muskegon Heights and as well as the municipality. So we need to do an assessment on those things to see where we are. Now, an easy way to do that as far as the community goes, right, because we serve the community first, let's do a survey and ask the community, not just what they would like to see here, what do they think some of the problems are? I think sometimes as elected officials, we forget that we're here to serve the community. And so we don't value their opinion as we should. You know, we are elected by the people to serve the people. And so I think that's the first thing we need to do. We need to do an assessment of ourselves. What are we good at? What can we build on as far as competencies? And what are we not so good at? So we can face those things and say, hey, we understand these things, then have some strategic planning towards those things. Because the only way that we change it is to look at ourselves and then to have consistency. So we need to show ourselves a certain way for years, not in a season, not in an election season or term. We need to consistently, continuously for a number of years, change that dynamic. But it starts with us looking inward.
And like I said, we've asked all candidates like the same questions. Do you feel that there's division and that the division is one of the problems in Muskegon Heights with the council?
Absolutely. And I want to be fair. The council is a representation of the community. And so I'm not making this a whole council issue, because the council or the makeup of the council is a microcosm of an example of what our community is going through. And what I mean by that, Greg, is there's division in our communities. Mm-hmm. And so if there's division in the community, then there's going to often be division in the leadership of that community. And one of the reasons that we don't have a lot of solidarity, if you will, is we don't have a shared vision. So I come from corporate America. And one thing that we do that the boss would do or I would do as I was in charge, I wanted to have a meeting to share my vision with my subordinates or my team or whoever was going to be affected by the changes or my vision. Mm-hmm. And in that, it just wasn't me talking. It's also a part of me listening to them to understand what they want to see in their organization, or we would say what they want to see in the community, because it would be wrong for me as a leader to expect people to follow me if first, I don't share my vision with them. And secondly, I don't allow them to give me some ideas of what they would like to see in the vision, because in order for the vision to work, it has to be something that everybody can get on board with. And then that way, it's not just the leadership. It can't just be the council that pushes it forward. The council has to inspire a vision that the community can grab on, hold to, and help push it forward just the same. So I think there is division there, but I think it's a big part of that is because there's not an inspired vision or collective vision. And again, that's for me, my perspective, and then, you know, attending the meetings, you know, online, and you see some of those things. But one of those key things that I think we're missing is strategy meetings. Mm-hmm. I think that as a council, something strategic planning is very important for any type of organization. So the council needs to make sure that they all have a collective vision. And then in that, they can present a united front. And it's clear that at this time, that's not happening, and that's causing a lot of division, because I have a great relationship with everyone there. I don't want to overstate it like we're all friends, but I have some of them. My relationship is more graduated than others, but I look at them and I respect them all if they want to do great things. But that's seven different personalities, seven different ideas, you know, seven different ways of doing things. So if they don't come together before hand and make sure that they have an inspired vision, then it's going to look like what it looks like. You have seven different people who have seven different ways of doing it, which adds to the dysfunction.
Mm-hmm. One of the questions is why you are out there campaigning. What are some of the issues that people would like to address?
Well, for me, one of the biggest things that people talk about is obviously the streets. The potholes are always going to be an issue. So that's that. And that's a part of infrastructure. They talk about housing, and they also talk about economic development. So again, let's start with the streets. We understand that we are in desperate need of funds to be able to fix our roads. Again, that's a major part of infrastructure, is how things come in, how things go out, how we move around. And so in that, we also know that we don't necessarily have money to just say, hey, we're just going to fix every street and go from there. A lot of people don't know that to fix a street, it might be $2 or $3 million. And then in that, you can't just fix, if you get a grant or different type of state or federal funds, you can't just fix any street you want. There's only certain ones you can do given how that money's allocated. So, but they want, and I think that we need to have conversation about that and tell the citizens that, versus them just saying, why did you fix Reynolds Street versus Howden Street, if you will? We should be able to tell them and educate them to do so. So that as far as economic development, that is so important, because they just had another meeting, if I'm not mistaken. They were told that as far as our finances for the municipality, that we need to find ways to generate more revenue, because we have a lot of debt triggers that were defaulted or pushed back, I should say, deferred, better choice of words, not defaulted, deferred for later payments. But now those things are coming and they're going to be due, and we don't have any type of mechanisms to be able to pay for those things. So as a city, what are we going to do to generate more money so that not only can we pay our bills moving forward and currently, but also build up a surplus, so we're not looking at a situation where now the city's looking at is going to be bankrupt. And then also overall housing. Housing is very important to infrastructure just the same. So for myself, I'm a federal HUD certified counselor. So I understand housing. I know how important it is. I understand what needs to happen with that. So they're asking at the same time, Darius, why don't we build any homes for our citizens to stay in? We know their understanding of the tax basis, property taxes help fix roads and things of that nature. So they're just wondering, why isn't the city paying attention to those things that will help generate funds to help itself, versus just saying, well, we don't have the money. We already know we don't currently have the money, but we can't continue just to say that. We need to start looking at mechanisms that will allow revenue to be generated. And infrastructure is going to benefit from housing. Housing is going to benefit from infrastructure. And all of it's going to benefit from workforce development, because the more jobs we have, people are going to buy homes, they're going to pay taxes, and then we'll have more money.
Now, speaking with that, as you know, when a lot of people that don't know, the Skinny Heights Water Filtration Plant is like the other candidate used, a jewel. It's a great filtration plant.
Sure.
How do we get cities and municipalities to come back and invest in that water filtration plant?
Well, I think that before we do anything, I'm always going to point back to ourselves, Greg, because we have to make sure that we're taking care and advantage of the things that we have or that are in our ownership. So for example, it's our plant. So if you were an investor, how would you feel if the people who actually own the plant, as it's documented, aren't necessarily taking care of the plant, right? Mm-hmm. So the Department of Public Works is doing a great job. So shout out to Kai and the group for DPW for all that they're doing. But they're telling them that, hey, we have certain citations or things that we need to tighten up. This isn't something that we can just put off. We need to do these things now so that we can at least get up to code. But if that be the case, we should be doing everything we can to assist him in the municipality so that we can get it up to code. We can show that we can operate. We can show that we can follow the processes and procedures that associate with that. Because as an investor, I don't want to make an investment if you're not even taking care of your own stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's how a lot of investors look at it. They look at it and say, well, we know that you need funds, but you're not even taking care of some of the things that you can do or that are within your power. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the first thing that we need to do. We can't continue to talk about why it got there or how it got there. We need to figure out plans to make sure that we maintain it, get it back to code. And then at that point, we can go out and attract investors and say, this is where we were. This is where we are now. This is our plan to stay here now. We need your help. And I think that's something important. We have to get things back to a zero before we can start looking for help, because no one is going to want to come help us, Greg, if we're not even helping ourselves.
Wow. The other two candidates, when asked this question, said no. So do you get the same question? The question is, do you feel that there's transparency at City Hall?
I don't. I don't. And the reason, again, I try to be fair. And again, I understand the council, and this is not directed at them per se directly or any other person there. But something that's important, Greg, that they talk about a lot, if you attend or listen to the meetings, they talk about processes, right? And the lack thereof. And what I mean by process is not just how the municipality works and operates, but also how things are done. So we can't go on a mechanism that used to benefit us back in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s and thinking that we have new things in 2024 that need to happen and we're going to just be able to operate the same way. So in that, we have meetings, you know, every Monday or some shape, form, or fashion, and that's good. But if we know that there's more information that needs to get out, there's nothing stopping us from having town hall meetings. Mm-hmm. Other municipalities have them. The government, you watch a federal debate, right? As far as federal elections, they have town halls, right, when they're elected. Let me just get all the people together and let them ask me questions. And then at the same time, let me give them some answers. So just imagine, Greg, as a community, if we all piled into the Waterford Center at Muskegon Heights and once a quarter, so every 3 months, the leadership came in and said, this is what the city looks like and this is what we've been working on for the past 3 months. Mm-hmm. Present those things to community, take questions, then that way on both sides of it, everybody feels like they're in the fight together. Now, that's not something that's necessarily traditional in Muskegon Heights. But again, we can't just stick to tradition. We have to step outside of ourselves and look at what works, because right now we are doing the same thing and it's failing. And again, that's insanity. We have to look at something different. So how about a town hall meeting again for a couple of hours once a quarter? They do it in corporate America all the time. They do it once a quarter to let you know how we're doing, because bonuses, if someone's going to get laid off, we need to know those things. So, hey, we're going to be fixing roads this quarter. This is what's happening. We got these investors coming in. We're trying to do that. People want to feel like if I'm voting for you, if I have to live here, I want to have a piece of the pie. And I think that's something simple. It doesn't cost us money. It just costs us time. And they elected us. And so we owe them our time.
Now, speaking of owing time, one politician said this. The dog with the biggest bark gets the biggest pork chop. You see some of the things that happen in Muskegon, in my area, they're just doing all roads, all sorts. And the plan is to do the whole city. What is it going to take for somebody to be in Lansing, Washington, or sharing around the world about the possibility of coming into Muskegon Heights to make it better?
Great questions, Greg. I think a part of that, too, is about networking. And I heard some of the other candidates talking about different resources and things of that nature. But other municipalities, when they put their boards together or their committees together, they don't just do it off of popularity. They do it off of, they want some experience, but they also want diverse skills and diverse resources. So you're not going to attract you're not going to attract people from Lansing or from the state to come this way if you don't have those resources or you can't make those connections. So I think that an important part of getting people here is you have to know who to get here. You have to be able to reach out and have those resources to be able to say. So for instance, I am again, the vice chair of Muskegon County Democratic Black Caucus. So some of those individuals, and this is not a name drop, but this is what I chose to serve because I wanted to help my community. I come in contact with those individuals. I'm in meetings with those individuals. I attend events with those individuals. I help campaign for those individuals. So some of them I have in my phone. And so I'm not saying that as a flex. I'm saying that if I'm on council, I can be used as a resource. I don't have to have my name on it. I don't have to be in charge, but I can put resources together and say, this is what we have. I understand processes. I understand project management. So I'm saying I understand their language. It is sometimes a little more highbrow and understand what they're looking for from us if they're going to come help. But I think that's something that is important. They're not going to come help if, like you said, if we don't reach out to them. but we have to know who to reach out to. And we have to be comfortable knowing that just because we ask for help, Greg, that doesn't mean that Muskegon Heights isn't this thing that we think that it should be or that it is. I know a lot of time our pride gets in the way from my perspective, and we want to do everything ourselves, but we can't do everything ourselves because we don't have all the resources. We don't have all the information. We don't have all the manpower, right? So if we don't have those things, are we just going to let our city go by the wayside because of pride? We need to be able to say, hey, we've seen you doing this thing, these things, and we would like to understand that. There's other municipalities that have already said that they will be willing to help us for nothing. They want to see us succeed. So I think it's on us to be able to reach out to those resources so they can hear what we have to say.
Let's go to Houston, Texas. Back to Michael Anthony Smith says, yeah. Revenue is the problem. You can't survive on grants. How do you create revenue? Also, make your slum lords pay their taxes. Your thoughts?
Great. Well, as far as, like you said, grants won't give it. So we, like I said, we need to generate revenue. So in that, we need to look at investing in our community as far as businesses. So they're called municipality invested or owned businesses. Other municipalities do this all the time. And real quick, Greg, what they'll do, if we got a grocery store here, so a grocery store, if we bought into a chain, it would cost us $600,000. Okay. I understand that we might want to fix roads, but that road costs $2 or $3 million to fix, and it doesn't generate us any money. Mm-hmm. What if we took that $600,000 investment, got a grocery store here? Aldi's just built a grocery store downtown. We can get a grocery store here or other economic movers. And in that, now the city owns it. The municipality owns it. There's nothing illegal about it. Mm-hmm. So now we're generating revenue that's coming into the city that's going to help our budget. On top of that, people are going to be paying taxes because they work in the city. That's going to help us as well. On top of that, it's going to boost morale, but overall, it's going to be an economic driver that helps us to do these things. Also, if we have businesses that want to open up, other municipalities do this the same. They'll help the business open, and they'll remove all the red tape. They'll take 20% as an investor and keep them with 80%. That way we can build up all of the corridor down there on Broadway that we've been talking about for years. Mm-hmm. Let's invest in the people who have great ideas. And then that way we can become investors, and those things help us just the same. So, yep, grants are going to be cool. Yep, we can get other investors here at some point, but we can also help ourselves by being smarter and more wise or more creative with the money that we have. And to do those things. And as far as the property taxes goes or things of that nature, it's about the processes. What process do we have that would allow someone on a weekly or monthly or quarterly basis to go and look at that? It's not going to fix itself. The reason or big reason why those things go to the wayside is because they're not getting that proper attention, because there's not a automatic mechanism, Greg, that says, hey, you got to check this today because someone might not have paid their taxes. You have to have a process or a system to say every month we're going to assess these things. And then from there, if people are delinquent, we're going to have a mechanism of what we can do as far as sending a letter to recoup those funds. We know that they're not paying them, right? But if we don't have a process or a mechanism in place every month that's consistent and standard, it doesn't change, then it's going to keep falling through the cracks, because you can't just think about it one day. It has to be something that's a process. That's what they talk about that a lot. We don't have adequate processes. So that's what I want to come help do. I have certifications in that space to help them develop these processes, so we won't keep tripping over our feet every time.
Just go to board. Benita Thurgill said, the revised city charter speaks of many of these processes and the questions that deal with the antiquated system. Many of our questions start there. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. So I've been privy to that information that they did a revised charter. It's been out there maybe 5 or 6 years now. And some of my mentors were served on that committee. They know who they are, so I don't want to name drop them. But they did have a charter that addressed a lot of the things that I've been talking about and other candidates that have been talking about that needed to get voted in. Now, I'm not here to say why it didn't get voted in, but it was a group of leaders from this community that saw some of these same issues that wanted to tackle these things before it became an issue. and it's still sitting out there, and it's not, it's public knowledge. And I think now, obviously, some things need to be tweaked because, again, it was 5-6 years ago and the current condition has changed a little bit. But it was a core document. I've seen it. And that's a great starting spot. So, again, how can we govern? How can we govern our city in 2024 if we have old charters or old processes? Mm-hmm. We have to update those things because that's going to be our governing text, if you will, or our governing policies that dictate our behavior when we're governing. So to her point, we got to start there. We need to update those, that charter and other processes.
Got to go to Benita against it. So wine skins can't hold new wine. The crumbling infrastructure is not conducive to new homes, businesses, and infrastructure investors. Your thoughts?
Correct. So again, I understand exactly what it is that she's saying about those old things. So again, the crumbling infrastructure that we have, infrastructure is a many things. So it's obviously the public works, it's housing, it's different things of that nature, the roads. But what we have to do, we have to start somewhere, and that's the issue. We got 10 things right now, Greg, that we can fix, and you could argue that all of them are priorities. But mm-hmm. during a strategic meeting, what we need to do as a committee, as a council, as a community, is to prioritize those things in an administration to say, this year we're going to tackle these things, and the next year I want to do this, so on and so forth. That's what we need. That doesn't happen. We switch leadership so much, or we don't follow a plan, and then what ends up happening is somebody else comes in and they have their own idea. We need to do some strategic planning, trust the people that are young and old to be able to come into that table and to address those things, because everything needs to be fixed on the house, if you will, but we got to start somewhere.
All right, 2 minutes left. Okay, so you voted in, you hit the ground running, you know that you got to work with everybody across the board, we got to change everything. Why should I vote for you?
A vote for Darius Mitchell would be a vote to sustain change. And it will also be a vote that will be a young man who's looking to inspire others to do the same. I'm old enough now, Greg. I'm 45 years old and I'm in a sweet spot. I'm old enough that I understand where we came from, but I'm young enough where I have the energy and I have the ear of the younger people. Mm-hmm. Our demographics show that the young people are what's missing. Everything that we're talking about, it's about the legacy. Our legacy is bigger than just us. It's about also the individuals that are coming behind us. Who's mm-hmm. representing them? That's what I'm here to do. We have issues with processes. I have certifications in that. We have issues with homes, home ownership. I have certifications in that as well. Workforce development is an issue for us. Operations is an issue for us. Those are the things that I've been technically and classically trained to do. This community has invested in me over these years, and all I'm asking for is a chance to pay them back. I'm not saying that I have all the answers or I'm looking to push anybody out, but I have a unique skill set. I have the respect of a younger generation, and I've been taught by the older generation. So I'm someone uniquely suited that can come in, work well with other individuals, understand, be very approachable, be very well-spoken, and show us friendly when we go into other communities. And I'm here for the long haul. So help me by voting on May 7th to help sustain change.
Last thing, if I want to write a big check to you or find out more stuff, how do I get that information?
You can call me at 231-903-8275. I have an email address. It's a committee to elect Darius Mitchell at gmail.com. I do have a Facebook page coming as well. And I will be out going door to door. So if I'm knocking on your door and you see me, I promise, please don't shoot me. I just want to come talk to you, and I appreciate everybody, and thank you for this opportunity to share myself with you and the community.
Darius Mitchell, we want to thank you. Just hold on for a second. Listen, Muskegon, it is 2:59, and that's the show. We've had a chance to talk to all the candidates. Now go out and vote. Also, listen, don't forget, listen, go change. You can change somebody's life. Go sow a seed in somebody's life this weekend, because you never know who is hurting. That's Turn to Two for this week. We'll see you next week. Take care and God bless.